they're back again, just as irritating and just as persistent, like Thrush.
That is a resounding endorsement for this podcast. It will never go away.
No, not unless you use suitable creams or medicines.
I feel like you're just about to whip out like another fake sponsor and just be like, sponsored by Vagisil.
Yeah, we could be sponsored by them if you like. I don't mind.
I mean, I don't want to be. I feel like that's not key. It's not a product that would be useful for me.
Nor me at all.
Oh, I see.
So, from Thrush to fairy tales. We've got a bit of a fairy tale theme for this one, haven't we? Which is rather nice, because I quite like fairy tales.
Yeah, two shows that are just like, hey, fairy tales are real.
Mm. And one of them is a lot better than the other.
I think I know which one you enjoyed more.
Yes, you do.
Shall we start with Grimm?
That becomes a code for get the shit one out of the way. Yeah, so Grimm is a show in which I don't give a fuck about anyone, and it's about a detective who's descended from the Brothers Grimm, I imagine.
That seems to be, because I was just like, there's the Grim Reaper, or the size translates to the Reaper of Grimm, and it's like, is that? Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's really, like, on the nose.
So yeah, this guy, Nick, he's a detective, and his aunt is like comes around and goes, oh, yeah, there's fucking monsters and shit. And then they get attacked by one.
Because I thought, when they were introducing the aunt, I thought they were just going like, hey, look, here's the villain.
Yeah, that's what I thought they were doing. Like, because she's all sort of like, well, I don't know, is it implied that she has cancer or something, or is she just bald, or she got alopecia or something?
I don't know, I feel like, she was saying like, I've got like 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, who knows how long I've got left to live, and it's like, oh, okay.
Oh yeah, there's that.
That's cool.
This is how I wasn't paying that much attention.
Yeah, but the thing I really like is that, so I'll get the one of the two things I liked about the show. I really liked the fact that they were like, fairy tales are real, because I dig that. And I really liked that it opened on with Eurythmics' Sweet Dreams.
I fucking hate that song.
I mean, it's not so much the song, it's the fact that they had like the sort of like a lighter version of it. And at the end they had, I think it closes to the Marilyn Manson version.
Yeah, that was quite a nice touch.
I think it's a nice sort of thematic musical thing that they can just pay for and didn't have to make.
That's fair. But I think we have, certainly together, we have experienced a Marilyn Manson song in a film in a much more entertaining way. Do you remember that bit in Horns? Where he just goes, hey, if you're loving so much, just fucking beat the shit out of each other. That's amazing. I need to watch Horns again.
It's been on my list of things to rewatch for a while.
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe when you're next, or when you, hang on, when's this going out? Do you remember
after
when you came down?
And we rewatched Horns, yes.
Yeah, and
I do.
I finished. Hey, I actually finished Hannibal. I don't know if I told
you.
I
know, I'm impressed. Yeah, you did. You mentioned it. I was very impressed. Possibly.
Might have been on the podcast. I can't remember. I mean, it was long ago. It was the 4th of April when I. If I told you that. But yeah, no, that was brilliant. Anyway, back to stuff that isn't brilliant. Grimm. It's just a bit shit, really.
The thing is, like, I feel like it could just be like a weak episode. I feel like the premise is relatively solid. Like the whole, this one guy can see stuff, but my real issue is the people around him, who, like his partner, who just doesn't question. He's like, how did you know? And he's just like, I got his address from like the boots, and they're like, oh yeah. And then they go back and be like, yeah, but you've literally got no evidence, and you've shot two people this episode, having never shot anyone before. Killed two people.
Oh yeah, I forgot it's his first kill, wasn't it? But like, when it comes to when the guy who kidnaps he's been kidnapping the little girl, he's like a weird werewolf sort of thing, and he guns him down, he kills him, right? When he dies, he goes back into his human form. So then all you've done is you've gone into the woods with your mate and you've shot an unarmed bloke who
did have a girl in the basement.
Yeah, fair, but once they've taken the girl out of the basement, it's like, there's no evidence there. All you've done is just run in there. And I thought, oh, I guess episode two is going to be them being like, you know, their superior saying, so, why the fuck did you shoot this lovely man? And they're like, oh, he was nasty, he was a monster. But
see, but I figured,
it seems
like,
they didn't give a shit.
Like, admittedly, because you see, like, the postman who's just like, that girl's wearing red. Next. And then, like, kidnapper. These are detectives who would maybe sort of go, well, who would be, like, just walking down the street? And then, because when he saw the guy collecting the post, I was like, oh, he's got it, that he's going to notice that at some point down the street, those little flags aren't up anymore.
Mm.
For like, they go up, they're up for like half the street, and then the rest of them are down. They're like, that's suspicious. But no, he's just like, I'm going to, like, that guy looks like he might be a werewolf. I'm going to go just blindly accuse him.
Ugh. Oh, I really didn't like this show. Like, I feel like you say, during the fight scenes, there's a nice, I was kind of reminded of like the fight scenes from Buffy, which was quite a nice little, oh yeah, that was good. But then other than that,
I like the first werewolf we demon that he talks to. He reminded me of that. Is it Inside the Shadows?
What We Do in the Shadows?
Yeah. It reminded me of like sort of that sort of portrayal of like vampires and werewolves.
Yeah.
And I was like, I dig that. I want him to, if he was like, quite a normal recurring character, I dig it, but I doubt it.
Because
you can't just keep going to him and be like, hey, buddy, can you sniff me out a demon?
Oh, no, he is. I think he is a recurring character.
Okay, that's what he's going to do.
But I don't know. I don't think any of the performances were particularly strong. I don't think the story was particularly compelling. You know, sometimes we
I feel like it would be had they not resolved that case in the first episode.
That's what I thought. That was he was going to be like the big bad throughout the whole thing.
Well, yeah, because
like, I don't wrap it up. And
yeah, because I've watched like all of Once Upon a Time for like shows like this, very high standards.
Yeah,
because and like as soon as it's like oh that could be a wolf, and it's like oh she was wearing a red jumper, okay cool, big bad wolf. Done. But then because this is trying to put like a whole darker spin on fairy tales, because the grim fairy tales are fairly dark anyway.
Yeah.
And then bring it into one day and you'd be like, oh, we instantly just like serial killer. Just run it for like 3 or 4 episodes.
Yeah.
Because he's got these new powers he has to like get to grips with. Then they have to solve a case, they can't just go, hey, are you this werewolf's pal? Could you just sniff him out for me? Yep, job done. I'll call my mate and we'll just fucking gun him down. So I feel like it's maybe one of those things where maybe it just needed a longer arc. Because it made me sort of go, well, that's that. And
yeah.
I'm not keen to watch anymore.
There was nothing really that set up a larger world or anything, was there? Not really, not until right at the end. And even then, I was like, oh, okay, well, there's some dude in a suit who's like, we need to keep an eye on
him. I was like, oh, it's that demon you saw earlier. Because he just goes, you! And then he gets injected with weird death serum.
Mm.
Poison, I believe they call it.
I think one of my problems with this was, as I was watching it, I was thinking, give it to the end of this year, when we come to do our top 5, I'm not even going to remember that we watched this one.
That's true. It's not strong, really, is it?
You think about the stuff we have watched already in, you know, the first 7 episodes. of this series. Yeah, there's been some absolute duffers, but there's been some banging stuff. Like, there was a couple of shows a few weeks on the trot. I was like, if this isn't in my top five, it will be a really good year.
Yeah, we've both been some fully strong shows. And this isn't one of them, which is a shame, because like it's a really, because I do like the idea of like a dark sort of modern day fairy tales are kind of real sort of thing. But it's not this.
No, not at all. And like
and there's a lot of like easy sort of I've forgotten the word. It's like stereotypes, but
the sort of archetypes, the thumbnail sketches of characters.
Yeah, like it's a lot of very sort of
generic.
Yeah, like yeah, it's all sort of like, oh, you've got these powers, you have to like be alone. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, like I was about to make that point. There's not a single character that I care about. Like, I don't care about Nick. I don't particularly like him. They didn't give me any reason to want him to be all right in the end of it. And I think, particularly when you're dealing with, you know, elements of horror and monsters, and, you know, if your characters are in some sort of shit, you need to sort of like them to want them to get out of it. Like, you don't also necessarily feel like have to like all characters, but
they gave the power reveal too early. Because he sees two like demon like human faces morph to demon faces and back.
Yeah.
And then he goes home and someone tells him about it. It's like, by the way, that's a thing you can do. I would have rather he was sort of left to like kind of piece it together. So like, say his aunt had died before the show started, then he starts seeing all these demons and he's like, what's going on? And then he finds that weird mythical trailer.
Yeah,
and then has to piece it all together from there. That would, for me, have a better chance of character development, I guess.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, if he found that trailer at the end of the pilot and solved this case properly, but then had like a flash of like the demon and then guns him down, and then people are like, what are you doing? I basically just want him to be in conflict with everyone.
I don't know. Like, I guess it's like with any sort of show.
It's a lot easier to sort of say like, these are all the things I didn't like about it.
Yeah. Like, and if you watch the rest of the show, you obviously you get to know these characters a bit better. So it's difficult to say, you know, oh, I think. But you know, you should be able to.
You should be at least hooked by the first episode.
Yeah, because it's definitely happened for us. Like. We definitely watched pilots that led us to watching the rest of the show. Like,
yeah, no, I've fully like before, wow. Like for the podcast gone, I'll watch the pilot and then watch like three or four episodes, and then be like, right. Okay, I think I like this.
See, this is the thing. I thought I'd watched this already, and I was like, I'm sure I've watched a bit, but I realised that when I clicked on the pilot, I had watched some of it. I'd gotten 10 minutes in and given up.
That sounds fair.
Do you find it weird that the girl at the beginning who gets killed while she's running is called Sylvie Oster, and one of the producers of the show has got the surname Oster, and it's not like that's quite a common name. I think that's a bit of an unusual one. So why the fuck is he named a character after himself and then that character gets killed off?
Not sure. I mean, I did like the fact that in the opening like credits it had a quote from, I guess, the fairy, because they were doing basically Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah.
So I quite like it had a quote from that. That was a pretty cool touch.
But I think the Red Riding Hood story's been adapted in more interesting ways, like Company of Wolves.
Once upon a time. As a really cool adaptation of it.
Well, should we shift over then?
I had one more thing to say about this. There is a lot of product placement. Like, but it's only right at the beginning, like opening sort of 5 minutes. They mention iPods, iPhones and Nike trainers several times very early on, and then specifically mentioned no other brand for the rest of the show.
I think it's something weird that something occurred to me actually when you know when they find the iPod in the woods
and it's still playing the same song. That's weird.
Well, that is odd, but you could write off saying, oh, you know, it's a repetitive running song if you got it on repeat or something, or it could just be in the same playlist and it happened to be, I don't know. But I think that putting iPods and, you know, bits of technology like phones or whatever, I think they age the show. Like, you can, well, not age it, but you can definitely date the show of, like, when it was made by what technology's being used. So, like, that was like an iPod Nano, but it was the skinny version. Do you know what I mean? So, like,
yeah.
Once, like, iPhones start appearing, and if you look back in, like, 10 years ago, and everyone's still using flip phones and slide phones and stuff.
I noticed that a lot when I was watching Gossip Girl, because they have, like, sort of, I don't know, like, the sort of, like, Sidewinder Nokia things, and it's like, that wasn't a very good phone. It's the same with Gilmore Girls, but then they are old shows.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
but then maybe the technology develops throughout the show, I don't know, or I'm not going to find out.
No, me neither. Yeah, Once Upon a Time.
There was a TV show that I really dug. It was called Once Upon a Time.
That's terrible. So yeah, not unlike Grimm. Turns out fairy tales are real things that actually happened.
But a different dimension. Well,
you explain this because you've seen,
I think, all of it. So yeah.
You go ahead. You do a better job than I can do with this.
Wow. Opens in the Enchanted Forest with Prince Charming riding to the rescue of Snow White, who's in the whole poisonous apple thing. We all know this story.
Mm-hmm.
So then it cuts halfway through a sentence where she's like, do you promise? And then it's just like, wedding day, I do. And it's like, oh,
I like that.
See, we did that. It's a good cut. I mean, that is a jump cut if ever I've seen one. I feel like you've skipped a whole relationship here. But then the evil queen, who I actually adore. Like, of all the characters on my show, she's my favourite.
Of course. Why do you always like the fucking horrible people?
Because I've seen the whole show.
Fair.
You don't know that she's always the evil queen.
This is true.
I mean, she is. Because they literally call her the evil queen. As if it's like her name. She's not just the queen. She's the evil queen. And everyone calls her that.
That's like, I always wondered, what did they call Captain Hook before he lost the hand?
Oh crap, they actually that is a question in the show.
Really?
Yeah, when they meet Captain Hook, they just go, what was your name before you lost the hand?
Oh, they knew me by the name of Captain Two Hands.
Yeah. It's like that Bane quote, like, no one cared who I was before I put on the mask. yeah, and then it cuts to, I think, just straight to, like, modern-day Boston, where Little Henry is on a bus and then gets into a taxi and just like, I have a credit card. Take me to a place. America, very sort of, we don't ask questions here.
Yep. Particularly of children, because why would you?
But then you get to meet the Belle Bondsman, Emma Swan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd forgotten how much I enjoyed her first, like, scene where she's just like, on a date, air quoting the date, to catch this guy. And then it's just the way that she casually just strolls across the road and she's like, I know he's running, but he's not getting away. And then, because it's her birthday, she has her sad little cupcake, puts a sad little candle in it, makes a wish, which she later reveals to be, I made a wish that I wasn't alone, and then knock at the door. But my favourite bit about that bit is the glance at the the glance at the cake and just like, the fuck did I just do? But what do you feel about like that sort of opening bit? Because it does really set up the story and give you
Completely.
An introduction to a good amount of characters.
It was so simply put. I was like, right, here's your Snow White. This is, you know, this bit, right? And then suddenly it's like, oh yeah, but now we're in modern day. So you're like, oh, okay, well I guess that it's, you know, going to be the story of the worlds colliding. And it's, you know, and then the kids read in the book, and it's like, have you seen Princess Bride?
Yes.
Well, that's like the entire film. It never really comes to anything, but it's, you know, at the start of the film, you see the kids ill in bed, and then the grandpa comes around to read him the book, and then that's the story of the Princess Bride. And there's no real reason for setting it up as if someone in the modern world is being told this story. So I thought that was quite a nice little touch. But
I really like the way they use the book to like tell a story. It becomes like, it's the book becomes quite a big, like, almost not character but like plot device later on.
Yeah, it made me think like, oh well, if there's, you know, if someone has already written these stories, it makes you think if the right people read it, they can sort of influence what's about to happen or what could happen.
Or if the right people are writing the stories.
Ah, all that way.
There is a character later on called the author.
Oh really?
Yeah.
He sounds like he might be the architect on the Matrix.
Weirdly, he's not. He's basically like the Watcher in Marvel.
Oh, right, okay.
So he just goes around, like, observing. And then I think goes power mad and's like, my quill is magic! Everything I write becomes true.
So as this goes on, you're introduced to, like, a whole bunch of different fairy tale characters, but
yeah, I don't think Henry, you meet then, too many in the first episode, because I mean, like, there are a lot.
There's like Rumpelstiltskin and Jiminy Cricket, and you know,
Rumpelstiltskin's another one of my favourite characters.
He was brilliant. Robert Carlyle's amazing. The fact that he can be like,
he's great in everything I've ever seen him in.
Yeah, like you think of him in fucking Trainspotting when he's Francis Begbie and he's an absolute psychopath.
What's weird is
I am Rumpelstiltskin,
What's weird is I was watching this, and then about, like, I think I must have been like halfway through a season, and then I went to see Trainspotting, like Trainspotting 2, and I was like, the fuck is Rumpelstiltskin? Ah, oh, crap. Like, I'm associating Robert Carlyle with Rumpelstiltskin.
But yeah, so then Henry takes Emma, who he is saying, hey, you're my mum.
I like that he just dumps that on her. He's just like, you're my mum. And she's like, no, I'm not. And he's like, did you give up a baby for adoption 10 years ago?
I'm that kid. I did make a note then. Actually, I've got my notes there in another room, so it doesn't matter. But one of the things I did write is like, how can you be that surprised when a kid turns up at your door and is like, oh, by the way, I'm your son. And you're like, you absolutely cannot be. And he's like, hey, you gave away a baby, didn't you? And then she's like, oh yeah.
Yep. I mean, like, the thing is, she fully knew that she gave away a baby. But she'd never, like, she asked for one of those, like, it's a closed adoption, I think, where there is no way for anyone to find out.
Yeah.
Even the mayor doesn't know. Although, yeah, it's quite clear that the mayor is the evil queen.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten all the flashbacks.
I do like that, though. I do like that it's got, like, different characters. Like, the fact that Henry explains, like, oh, yeah, these people, they're in the book. They just don't remember that they were part of this book. And I was like, that is quite a nice angle. I like that.
The thing is, I remember ages ago,
having said I don't like Amnesia.
Well, yeah, one of those things.
Slightly different.
Because I remember, yeah, when we were talking about it, and I always said there are some cases where I think it's fine. It can really work. Always been referring to this.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's different if someone wakes up with no memory of who they are or how they got there or anything, but the fact that they know themselves to have lived this particular life, like the one that they
live in the real world. Remember if it's revealed in the first episode that not everyone's forgotten.
I think it might have been alluded to. I can't remember.
It's alluded to that Rumpelstiltskin remembers when he meets Emma. Yeah, he's like, Emma, that's a nice name. It's all about them names.
Creepy as fuck. But yeah, no, I really like this. The one thing that I was a bit like, hang on a second, is I think...
Is it Christian Grey walking down the stairs?
No, that was an enjoyable treat. But it's the fact that I wasn't sure if it knew what tone it was going for. Because obviously you've got fairy tales and, like, you know, those tend to be aimed at children when, I mean, there's no real need for them to be, I suppose. But the fact
I think it's going for, like, a middle ground of, like...
This is it. Because it's, like, it's a little bit like, oh, how romantic. We've got all the, you know, the fairy tale stories and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But then halfway through it, she says something like, oh, you silly bitch, or you silly bastard, or something like that. And I was like, who are you aiming this at? Because it is quite twee, and the stuff with, like, Henry going to see his mum, and everything's sort of quite a clean and safe world. It doesn't feel like any sort of actual, you know, it's not going to be uncomfortable viewing at any point. But then
yeah,
she's like,
I think it is. It's definitely, I think, sort of aimed at sort of probably around the same place that Gilmore Girls and Gossip Girl were aimed at.
That's what I was thinking.
So that's sort of like, yeah, like sort of late teens, I guess. Like sort of mid to late teens, where you sort of go,
yeah.
And you can appreciate the sort of more grown up jokes, but also it's still like fucking fairy tales.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, that's a really good point. Like, I'd even say maybe early teens to late teens as well.
I think also, I think it could be a family show.
I
don't think there's anything in it that would make it, like, viewing it with a family, like, weird.
Actually, in fact, I had no thought. If you had a family and you wanted a TV show, you could all sit down and you all get something out of it. And you
Game of Thrones.
For fuck's sake. No, I mean, like, you know.
I mean, the Lannisters are big on family. yeah, Game of Thrones is not... Not good family
Absolutely
viewing.
Not a family show. No, but like, because you, like you say, if you got like younger kids or like people getting up to, like, you know,
yeah, Jessica, like, Jones,
teens and stuff. I think this would.
I think there. I don't think there are many. It's weird because there aren't really many shows that have something for everyone.
Mm.
But I feel like this is probably one of them. It's got enough. Well, I mean, I watched it as an adult, so. It's got enough to keep me interested.
You were watching this at uni, I think, weren't you?
I watched the first season at uni and then was like, this is getting a bit slow for me. And then started watching it again last year.
Okay.
And then watched all of it.
I'm
now waiting for the second half of the last season.
Okay. So, well, I don't understand. I really don't understand what it is about. I have.
About shows that are aimed at teenagers that we really like.
Sorry?
Like, there's something about shows that are aimed at teenagers that I can just... I feel like I haven't grown up since then.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yeah, well, yeah, show me teenagers.
That's sort of the point I was about to make, is that I don't... I guess it's because they're the earliest stories that I remember coming into contact with, but I have such strong feelings for stories that have, like, fairy tale elements or are fairy tales or... are derived from fairy tales, that they become my most, you know, the best stories I know. Like Horns. Like, Horns on paper, it's not the best made film. And it's not the best story in the world, but the fact that it's like...
Well, didn't you, know, you did the same thing that I did, which was basically refuse to watch it because you won't enjoy it because it's Harry, like, it's Daniel Radcliffe's Harry Potter.
No, I think I was, like, as soon as I saw the trailer, I think I first saw the trailer, or, well, I'd heard rumblings of it, like, years ago, and then I saw the trailer for it when I went to see Gone Girl in the cinema. I was like, I absolutely need to keep my eyes out for this.
And then I think it came up on my radar because I saw a picture of Daniel Radcliffe's Horns and was like, I'd probably watch that.
Yeah, I have a weird thing with Daniel Radcliffe, I'm sure I've told you this, but I'll watch anything he's in. I don't know what, he's not my favourite actor, but anything he does I find quite interesting. Post Potter, he's made some really interesting decisions on what films to make.
I think it's because he did the, you know, the same thing that Elijah Wood did after Lord of the Rings, where he just went, I'm just going to do whatever I feel like, as long as it's not something I've just done.
What, fucking Green Street? It's football day!
Not even Green Street. I was thinking more of his character in Sin City.
That's true.
Because that is about as far from Frodo as you can get.
In fairness, he's not in that much, is he?
No, but the character he plays is very, like... It's the one of the weird things that he's just... That sticks in my mind.
Yeah.
Although I need to rewatch it, I think. I haven't watched Sin City in a long time.
I watched... You know who else is in Sin City, don't you?
Yeah, that's why I think I need to rewatch it.
Fucking Rory's in it.
But... No, like, the thing that Once Upon a Time does that I think enjoy more than anything else that it does is how it goes, see all these stories that you always thought were so separate, look at all the characters from them interacting, because they take, like, Rumpelstiltskin is a pretty much a standalone story as far as I've seen it. It's just the Rumpelstiltskin story. Pinocchio, fairly standalone. The Blue Fairy from Cinderella, because I think that's where the Blue Fairy's from.
I wasn't sure.
I feel like maybe they're just sort of like, that's a fairy. Deal with it. They're a staple of fairy tales. Literally, like, fairy tales. And then, yeah, you've got, like, the Evil Queen and stuff, and Snow White from something.
I'm not sure what that was from.
But then, and you see them all, like, interacting with each other in, like, this world. As it goes through, that pool of characters gets bigger and bigger.
See, I'm looking forward to that, because I'm probably not going to give much weight. I'm definitely going to watch more of this.
Yeah, and, like, the thing... There are slow bits, but those slow bits are really worth it for the things that happen later on. Because you get to see... I think it basically just expands to nearly, they just sort of go, anything Disney's ever done is fair game.
Well, I remember there being a big fuss because, like,
Elsa was in it?
Yeah, the girls from Frozen were in it.
Weirdly, I was like, I'm probably not going to enjoy that. Because, one, I haven't seen Frozen.
Same.
But then, like, the Elsa characters came on and I was like, that's pretty good. And you realize I dig that.
Basically May from Overwatch.
Yeah, pretty much. The first thing that happens is there's a big ice wall around the town. I was like, damn.
Also, have you seen May? This is going off track. May's been massively buffed.
Really?
We're going to have some problems with her tonight after we finish recording this.
Oh.
But yeah, no, I thought this was great and a lot better than Grimm, and I will definitely be watching this. You've already watched all of this. Will you be watching more of Grimm? No.
No. However, I will be watching more of Once Upon a Time. Because it's in, like, it's ending on seven seasons.
Is it?
Which I think is good, because I think season seven is weaker than the rest. Because a lot of the main cast left, so they jumped a little bit into the future, I think.
Was it more of a reboot?
Pretty much. It felt a lot like a reboot. Because Henry is the person with a kid coming to his door. And I was like,
oh, right, okay.
Okay.
Fair enough.
But then you get, it's got, like, some familiar faces, so it's enough to keep you going.
Yeah.
But, like, I think, yeah, season seven, maybe it needs to be put to bed.
Yeah.
Because as shows go, this is one that I really don't want to outstay its welcome.
Yeah.
Mostly because I want to go back and watch it all again. Because I very nearly just sort of went, maybe I should just say we can't record tonight so I can just watch more of this. Because I remembered how much I enjoyed that first episode and I was like, oh God, maybe I could just watch it again.
I like it a little more than I like Grimm anyway.
I also like how much of a focal point the clock is. Because
it's a literal countdown, is it?
No, it's a literal, like, representation of the fact that
She's getting stronger.
They've been stuck there for 28 years, and time hasn't moved.
Or is it because it moves like all the second at the end?
It moves a full minute, so like the clock just starts again. So basically, when they all get magicked, they come to our world. This town is formed of just purely storybook characters. They added an arc, they were like, if we call it storybook, it's a little bit suspicious.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, they've been stuck until Emma came back. They explain it, I think, in like the next episode.
I think it was, like, if not explained in the first one, it was definitely alluded to that that's what that is. And I figured it was. So.
There was like one bit of trivia that I just need to check because I want it to be true.
Okay.
Not like I want it to be true, but if it is true, it's a good bit of trivia. So you just have to bear with me while I just fucking look stuff up.
Okay.
It's very interesting. What are we doing next?
Next week, we're getting a little bit naughty, a little sexy. Got the Secret Diaries of a Call Girl and the Playboy Club. I don't know what that second one is. I know what the first one was, but I don't know what Playboy Club's about. I'm guessing
It's literally about
is it about Hugh
a club run by Playboy.
Oh, okay.
I've already watched it. It's actually very good.
Have you watched the other one, Secret Diary?
No, I haven't. It's why it's on there, because I was like, I haven't watched that. I need a reason to watch that.
I'll tell you what dates that. It's the fact that Amy Winehouse is playing all the way through it. did you find that bit of trivia you were looking for?
I'm trying. I'm literally just trying to find out if... Yeah. Snow White and Prince Charming are actually married. IRL.
Really?
Yeah, they're an actual couple.
That's quite sweet. Oh, isn't that nice?
That's a lovely bit of trivia to end it on, isn't it?
Isn't it? Let's all get married.
To each other?
Well, no, but...
Please.
Okay, well, cheers for listening. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, whatever. We don't give a shit. Do what you like, you know? We're not your real dad.
Except definitely watch these. Yeah. Please.
Do that.
We try so hard.
Alright, bye.
Bye.